Greetings. I'm Stan Hendricks from the Patch Court in Cameron, Missouri. I recently received an email from my friend Jamie telling me all about blindcooltech.com and inviting me to go over there and check some of the stuff out. So I did, and I was going to reply to his email, which had a question in it, regarding the possibility of three-dimensional sound when being captured by only a pair of microphones and played back by a set of headphones. So anyway, I thought I'd send the reply to the email back in this fashion. I just set up a pair of stereo mics in my studio and thought I'd give it a go rather than typing all that stuff out. So here goes. It's a fascinating website and a terrific concept. I downloaded the Dallas Tour and the BCT-118 point of reference files and gave them a listen. The whole idea of recording those tours is pretty cool. I just sat back and listened to it as if I were there. It's kind of like taking a trip without the luggage and the airport hassles. So anyway, let's talk about Jamie's question for a minute. He asked, quote, "Is there any explanation as to how, wearing a set of earbuds, I could be hearing this effect?" End quote. Well, yes, there is an explanation, and you were right on track with your suggestions as to what it might be when you said, quote, "I suspect that the sensation is not totally reliable. One theory I have is that high-frequency sounds might sound like they are behind me, while low-frequency sounds might sound like they're ahead of me," end quote. Well, you're also correct that the sensation is not totally reliable, although not totally unreliable either. So let's go back to the beginning and start with this statement. It's impossible to reproduce a three-dimensional sound using only 2 points of capture and 2 points of playback. There must be a third. That third point of reference, however, can be simulated by inducing an image. Once our brain connects the image to a third dimension, then it can create a believable simulation of three or more dimensions. This is not unlike adding reverb or delay to some elements in a musical mix in order to add depth to a recording. However, in this case, the image is generated by actual environmental factors, not artificially generated. I used the word image in my statement, and in fact, that also matches Jamie's assumption that, as he said, quote, "Maybe I just have a vivid imagination, but perhaps there really is an explanation for this phenomenon," end quote. Well, that's both the question and the answer. Webster's definition of imagination is the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality, end quote. The idea of highs in back, lows in front is a good example of the image being created by the surrounding environment. Buildings, trees, people, cars, etc., they all create reflections at different frequencies, and if they are moving, the Doppler effect adds to that image, as well as certain phasing effects. Of course, probably the biggest image builder is amplitude. Things get louder as they get closer and quieter as they move away. The whole process of creating the image is dynamic, and it's the changes in those dynamics that give us the third image builder parameter. For example, with only 2 microphones capturing the sound, let's say you're standing on a corner with buildings behind you that are made of cement and steel with glass windows. Ahead of you is a car dealership on one side of the street and a park on the other side. As a car approaches from behind, the cement, glass, and steel reflect the higher frequencies. As it gets closer, the reflections grow shorter in separation and higher in amplitude. As it passes, the cars in the car lot diffuse the high frequencies, causing a more random reflection, and the trees in the park across the street simply swallow up the highs, creating somewhat of a sonic hole. So your brain fills in the blanks with an image as the vehicle passes. Since it doesn't know yet whether the truck is coming from behind or in front, it needs some more input, or simply it creates that input from scratch and takes a guess. In real life, the vibrations on your body from behind or in front would fill in that blank, but in this case, it requires something else. I noticed in Larry's description, he asked,
"What about that car that just went by, and this one? The first one was back to front.
One
second
guy was going to put these two young girls off the bus one day.
Was front to back."
That gave my brain a little bit more to go on. It's still guessing, but its guesses will be a little bit more accurate from now on. Simply turning your head for a moment with the mics on, one way or the other, can also create that third or fourth capture point and give your brain more to go on as well. If you know which way you turn, right or left, your brain can instantly deal with that info and continue to recalculate that image. As you walk forward, the reflective surfaces of the buildings fade as the sonic hole and diffusion from the car lot move toward you. This movement once again gives your brain more input. So even though we're actually only hearing in 2 dimension, our brain can create a third from the information generated. However, the image is just that, it's imagination. It's not necessarily, but quite possibly accurate to an uncertain degree. Finally, I recall a high school assembly as a child when a guest speaker was known for throwing his voice. I remember he demonstrated it by talking, and as he talked, his voice changed from wide bandwidth to narrow. The pitch changed, making my ears believe there was a Doppler effect occurring, and the amplitude was decreasing in equal amounts to the other changes. I could hear it moving away, but the guy was still standing there, and my brain was telling me his voice was moving. But it didn't all compute until I looked back at him, and he was looking over towards one corner of the gym and pointing with his finger, as if he were watching his voice move across the room. Well, I was instantly convinced that this guy had figured out a way to remove the sound from his voice and make it fly across the room. All the parameters fit, and my brain had no problem creating an image of the flying voice. Well, I hope it all starts to make sense now, or at least the vastness of its inability to make sense is evident. Bottom line, Jamie was right. It is an image, and your mind is creating it as its best guess at what reality is, considering all the input parameters. Now, if you add a third mic on the back of Larry's head and listen back through three playback speakers arranged accordingly, things change drastically. It'd be less image and more reality. Ah, there. Well, it all makes me wish I'd done better in school and paid attention. I'm no expert, and all these suggestions are developed from no formal training, but hopefully a good understanding of my job in the studio. Thanks for tossing this interesting question up in the air. I've enjoyed pondering it for the past few days. I've even written quite lengthy replies, which have been edited, written, and even deleted in favor of this condensed version. Perhaps I've left some things out that I intended, or maybe my brain is just creating an image in my mind that I've covered the subject effectively. Ah, well, who knows? In any case, it's been fun. I appreciate it. You guys have a great week, and thanks.